Pickaxe.
Jetzt nur du, dein Podcast und eine leckere Auszeit. Ab zu Aldi Nord. Für 2,99 Euro bringst du deine Mittagspause mit Sushi ins Rollen. Lecker. Und für 1,99 Euro gönnst du dir danach noch eine kleine Eiszeit. Bei Aldi Nord findest du immer das Passende. Klingt gut? Dann probier die Snacktime Sushi Box ab 205 Gramm für nur 2,99 Euro. Oder Mucki Sandwich Eis, je 8 Stück für nur 1,99 Euro. Das ist Gutes für alle zum Aldi-Preis. Jetzt in deiner Filiale. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Hi everybody, what's up? Welcome back to the Triforce Podcast featuring your favorite three guys in the whole wide world. That's right, it's me and Lewis,
hey.
Imperium Flax, and we're here today to talk about Brexit and Bremain because it's topical. Today is the day, right? But you won't get this until a week later, so yeah. We can talk about our predictions, and then in a week's time, you can be like, holy shit, those guys had it so wrong. I predict most people won't vote because I don't think anyone gives a shit. So
I think you're totally wide of the mark there, dude.
Yeah, I think I might don't be.
Know. It feels like it's been all that's been talked about on TV and newspapers lately. I feel like a lot of people.
Well, it's because there's nothing else to talk about. They hype it up as this big thing, but like, I don't think it is like a big deal at all.
Yeah,
actually.
It's like Overwatch. It's all hype and no substance.
It's just all. It's all.
I don't
hype.
Like it. I don't like Overwatch. I honestly, like, in a week's time, I think people will.
Do you like the EU?
I think people will be glad to not hear about Brexit anymore for a week because that fucking joke. If I have to hear that joke, Brexit sounds like a shitty breakfast cereal. If I have to hear that one more fucking time, I'm gonna just strangle someone.
If anything, at least that will end.
I'm gonna be like that bear in The Revenant. Spoiler. Just really angry.
There's a bear in The Revenant.
I watched The Revenant.
Yeah,
I watched
it
the weekend.
I've seen it. I mean, I think
God, it was a good film.
Really?
Yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. I thought it was great. I just like.
I still need to see it. I meant to go see it in the movie theaters, but I just I don't get a chance to do that. So
the movie theaters.
Yeah.
That's right.
I hope it'll be coming soon to a movie theater near me.
It's actually come and gone already, Pierre and Flax. I'll have you know. You'll have to wait for that one to come out to rent. On VHS or DVD.
Or alternate formats like Betamax or whatever they had in Japan.
Other formats are available. So Brexit, right? There's two choices.
Yeah.
You're either a pussy that hates England and you want to stay with the European masters and bend over and get fucked by Brussels, or you're a racist that hates people and you're literally killing people by not allowing them into our country, you fucker.
Yeah.
So there's two choices. Be a
There's like a technicality there. It's not that they're not going to let everyone in. They're going to let people who are useful in. And that makes you even more racist because people are like, well, if these people can't come over, what happens to the NHS? And they turn around and say, well, obviously we're going to let doctors in, for Christ's sake. So that makes you more racist, right? Even more so. That makes you worse because you're like, well, we don't want janitors, but we want brain surgeons. So
it's a classic problem of two bad options, right? It's like every election, there's always, you have to choose the lesser of two evils. I mean, the American election, Trump versus Hillary, holy fucking shit. How is either of those outcomes a good outcome? Could you, holy, that is going to be a bad one when that comes around.
If they combine, though, they could be thrillery, and that would be...
Do you think you're sick of Brexit? I'm already sick of Trump-Hillary.
Trillery.
Or hump.
Yeah.
I think I can live with hump, actually. Oh, I've got the hump. Jesus. Yeah.
Someone posted in one of the, I can't remember what thread it was, on the Yogscast subreddit saying, can we please not talk about American politics? Because it like triggers them, basically.
Yeah, right.
I think that this is what you're going back to what you were saying about there being too much stuff on TV about politics and how it's going to destroy the world.
It's
become the new Armageddon. We used to talk about the Cold War and how the commies had nukes. They got nukes pointed right at every school in this country. God damn it.
Yeah. That's why, like, my parents and probably your parents had to, like, do those drills where they hid under their desks in case the...
Duck and cover.
Because, you know, that's going to help, you know, when an A-bomb goes off and melts everything.
If you're under a desk and it melts onto you, you'll die quicker.
That, well, yeah, that's it. I become
when
desk
you're here,
man.
The nuke
nuclear air raid warning. Be sure to use sellotape to stick cardboard cereal boxes over your windows. Yeah. Quick, do it quickly. You only have 30 seconds.
Oh. Where'd you put the fucking sellotape? I can't find it. It's in the drawer next to the scissors. Yeah. I can't find the fucking scissors. Boom. That's how you go bickering about
It's the age old, like, it's the climate of fear thing, right? And then, but nowadays, you're fearful of like weird shit. You're not scared that bombs are going to drop or whatever. You're scared of like people who are going to suck total balls at a job, getting into the job and stuff like that. Like that's the new fear that's taken over from like thing, like tangible fears, like, you know, dying because of like an atomic blast.
Yeah.
To just being scared that Trump's going to get in and somehow fucking, you know, cause some problems or whatever by just being a doofus. Sort of thing.
Doofus. He's such a doofus.
That's why people are, yeah, that's why people are scared nowadays.
I actually love watching him talk because he feels like an imposter to humanity itself. Like the way he talks is like someone who'd been told this was how people talk, but he doesn't actually know on a fundamental level how to talk like a human being. I think he's great. He was in Scotland, and he has this weird way of doing everything where he almost looks into the distance when he says stuff. Like he's so busy. Like they said, "Are you pleased to be back in Scotland?" He goes, "I love it. I'm so happy to be back in Scotland. I love it. Scotland is great. I love it." And he just kind of, but he's not talking to anyone. He's just kind of looking into the distance. Like there's a bird headed for him. Is that an eagle? Is that it's coming right for us.
He's like Rain Man.
It's just so weird.
It just goes
Trump
off
thinks
on
an
one.
Eagle is coming towards us.
Did you just drop 25,000 toothpicks on the ground? I'm pretty sure it's 25,000.
No, yeah, just tall.
Definitely
a
by
huge
my underpants at KM1.
He's like Rain Man, but not skilled in that.
Yeah.
There's like two toothpicks there.
He's Rain Man with no redeemable qualities whatsoever. However,
Mr. Trump, there's like clearly over 1,000 to this. Two toothpicks.
I love
two.
Scotland. Did I tell you I love it?
Make the best toothpicks in Scotland.
Jesus.
Mrs. F. Christ. Sorry, you lads carry on. I'll be back in a minute.
Right, you go and say hi for us. So are you going to vote, Sips? Have you gone out?
I'm not allowed to. Apparently, we were possibly going to be able to, but because we're a dependent territory and not, we're self-governed and everything over here.
No way.
Yeah, we don't get the chance to vote. So
Jersey don't
we're
get
affected
to
by it, though, too, I think. You know, like whatever the outcome is, but we don't get a say whatsoever.
There was a thing I read the other day about this, and it's someone in I think the French Prime Minister or someone in charge, someone elected Brussels bureaucrat said that if the UK left the EU, it would become as irrelevant as Guernsey. Right.
Wow.
Now Guernsey is obviously Jersey's little brother, right?
Yeah.
So I mean, it's kind of, or is Guernsey Jersey's big brother? Which one's the big?
No,
do you have like a little?
Guernsey's smaller, so I'd say definitely the little brother.
Which one had Bergerac?
Jersey, the good island had Bergerac. Yeah.
Yeah. So they said that. Sorry, PFAX, did you say hi to your wife?
Did you kiss her? I did.
Has she voted?
No, she went postal.
Right. Oh,
wow.
What does that
with
mean?
The vote, I hasten to add. She didn't just.
Oh, nice. Yeah, I get it.
She went on a killing spree outside.
But she's fine.
So I thought that was a bit mean because I thought, well, saying that the UK will become like Guernsey is kind of okay because Guernsey does all right, right? Jersey and Guernsey do fine. They're pretty cool places. They seem to manage just
well. They
as
have
well
a
as...
really thriving industry revolving around people avoiding tax. So I mean, if the UK would like to get into that as well, then maybe
well, I mean
they'd
that's
right,
what Ireland but... have been doing, and that's why so many big companies have been setting up in Ireland lately. It seems to work for them.
Yeah, that's true, actually, yeah. Because, like, there's a whole bunch of big companies. Like, basically all of the online games and stuff that you play operate out of Ireland in some capacity now, right? Because it's,
we get paid by Google in Ireland. You know, that's how we make our money.
It's cheaper, it's cheaper for them. You don't have to pay tax.
So, famously,
there's... Ireland don't actually tax musicians either, and that's why U2 never moved. Like... I don't even think that they were really particularly proud to be Irish, and I think they probably would have moved somewhere else, but there's obviously huge monetary benefits of staying in Ireland.
Don't tax
so that's
musicians.
Why.
That's great. That encourages, you know, people to
the next
be
you
musicians
too.
For a living.
Yeah, exactly. You never know.
That's a good way to do it. I think they'd probably end up with a lot more people like playing the fiddle and fiddling their way down in the pubs and things.
Yeah.
I love it.
Maybe.
So So are you guys going to vote? Is that a thing you're going to do?
I can't, so no, I'm not going to.
Yes. PFLEX?
Yes, of course, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What are you going to vote? Or are you not going to tell
Trump.
Us?
Now, you can't ask that. No, no, listen. You can't ask people what people are going to vote because it's a little... But then again, right, some people are very, very willing to just be outright about it. Like say, I'm 36 and I'm proud. Whereas you wouldn't go up to her and you'd say, oh, hey, how old are you, right?
Yeah.
Or like, you wouldn't ask... You don't ask people's weight. You don't ask how much people earn. Right,
no.
These are polite things you don't know, but people can tell you, and they're very happy to tell you.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know,
on, right.
the,
I'll tell you.
I'm voting for this. It's like,
it's
well,
true.
But you can't ask them. See,
yeah,
yeah. It's they pride. Sort of give you like a little insight into their life when they declare that they're going to vote like one way or whatever, because
yeah.
they have to like reaffirm that, you know, that's their choice, sort of thing. So they're like you said, like I'm 36, I earn 45 grand a year, and I have 2.5 kids, and I'm going to vote yes. And then you know exactly what you need to know about them based on
it's
that.
It's true.
Yeah.
I am a mother, and I want to ensure the future of this country for my children. I'm 36 years old. 36. I'm 180 pounds. I have earned $25,000 a year. I also have a small wart on the inside of my butt.
The inside?
There's Whoa. A picture of it here on my phone. You can have a look. Yeah. It's like, well, yeah. we don't need to know all this. For crying out loud, woman.
Yeah.
Oh, some people are like that, though. They just
some people do, yeah.
They will not share, they will not keep anything secret.
I changed my name to Pyramane Flax on Twitter, so I'm out there with Remain.
So you're Bremain. You want a Bremain in the EU?
All about the Bremain.
That means you're a pussy, P-Flax. You're a fucking pussy.
Wow.
You don't believe
Holy shit.
The fucking future of Britain. You
Jeez.
Piece of shit. No, well. Do you know what, though, right? I don't... The thing that I've been following the whole fucking time is not actually any of these stupid polls, exit polls, any of this wank. What you look at when you want to know who's going to win something,
yeah, is Reddit,
is Ladbrokes, right?
Oh, Ladbrokes, Bookies, yeah, of course,
or someone
yeah.
like that. Okay,
yeah, even
because
better.
They have a professional vested interest in trying to predict the future, and they usually are pretty fucking good at it. And it's almost been like almost the whole way. And I think most recently. Last time I checked, it was about 75% chance of Remain. So that's a pretty good odds. I reckon
that's terrible odds. You'd be that's not going to give you any return whatsoever.
Yeah.
Well, it's,
if you want to make money off the whole Brexit Remain, yeah, that's not very good.
I don't know.
You want it to be like neck and neck.
Oh, wow.
So go either way.
Remain is currently 8-1 on. Whew.
Yeah. So
I'm tempted to stick 20 quid on leave so that at least I get something out of it if we leave.
So it's now 8-1, is it? Wow.
8-1 on. So it's like 1-8. So yeah.
So 8-1 on, yeah. So 8 times more likely to
mm-hmm.
win.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there you go. We probably
I can get 5-1 if I vote for Brexit.
Remain seems to have had a late surge, at least from what I've seen. A lot of people have been like
proudly claiming
Remain.
It's a tenner on leave.
I think it would be crazy if they left though, realistically. I think there's just so many things that people never consider in a decision like this. And I think you have to be pretty fucking insane to actually think that they're going to leave. There, I said it.
Yeah.
I just feel like there's so much uncertainty. If you're really betting for, like it is a gamble in itself, really, I think. If we stay, we know what we're going to get. We know what it is. It's, you know, Britain is a great place to live, I think. I've traveled a lot here, but I don't know. I mean, in my opinion, I guess. But
yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
I do. I love living in Britain. I think it's a great country, and I don't see why we should let Nigel fucking Farage run the show. He's a c***.
Yeah.
Put that on my gravestone.
Well, don't say that to Lewis, because Lewis obviously wants to, like, blast him.
True.
I like his
tushy like so much. I think about it all
love
the time.
Love his cute little tweed covered tushy.
He's got a nice tushy. Yeah.
He's got the best tushy. You know what? I love a tushy. And Nigel Farage, he's got a great tushy.
I might not be able to count toothpicks, but that's one fine tushy I've seen.
Stop it.
If Farage and Trump formed a party, they could be Team Frump.
That'd be nice. Oh. Yeah. It's better than Hump or Thrillery.
Frump, Hump, or Trump? What's it going to be? There was his hotels, everything has Trump on it. The carpets, you get a bottle of wine, it has Trump written on it. In massive letters, the doors. You go lie
down. Maybe he'll
bed.
Paint the. Maybe if he gets in, he'll just paint the White House gold and
gold.
Put,
we'll call
his
it the Trump House.
It.
Welcome. We'll call it the Trump States of Trump.
Trump. Yeah. pretty much.
And everybody's got to play trumpets everywhere they go. That's how we talk now, with a trumpet.
There was a fantastic Photoshop of Donald Trump as if he hadn't done all the weird shit to his hair. Because he's quite an old man.
Yeah.
And if he'd actually sort of had natural hair, you know, like balding and sort of losing his hair, what he would look like. Man, he looked super creepy.
Unelectable.
Like Vince Cable, kind of slightly evil, slightly kind of creepy.
Vince Cable didn't help because he held his hands in that kind of Mr. Burns...
Yeah, sort of
like he's up to something all the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, the elderly, which is weird. The elderly run the world. Fingers. 50 and 60 year old people run the planet, and yet we're kind of afeared of age. We should give it all to the kids. Let my daughters run the planet. They'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. God, can you imagine how much candy we'd be able to just eat at all times? Jesus.
Forget about it.
More, even more so than we can now. Be nuts.
It'd
be
ice cream for everyone.
All the time. We're abolishing breakfast, lunch, and dinner and replacing it with just ice cream. Your choice. All the flavors you can ever imagine. So that's the hot news this week. Mm. I mean, it's a topic that the three of us, I don't think, really give that much of a shit about.
Wrong. I really want it to be Remain.
I think it's quite exciting. I like when it's the booze.
It's exciting,
you know,
enough, but like I'm going to be happy when it's all over and we can just talk about something different. Like everybody is just obsessed with it right now.
But you can always just fuck off to Canada, Sips. I mean, you could just go like I'm out, which is like really cool country to live in. I'm stuck in this hellhole.
It's small. It's got small population, you know, pretty laid back. Everybody just wants to, like, you know, build an igloo and fucking shave their polar bear or whatever, you know. It's nice. It's a nice place to live. I haven't lived there for like 15 years, so maybe it's changed a bit, but
I don't know. My friend moved to the West Coast. What is that? What is
like
that?
Vancouver, British Columbia.
It looks beautiful. Like I didn't get a chance to go there, but we flew into it last time I went to Seattle.
It's like, I think Vancouver to Seattle is like maybe like 200 miles or something.
Yeah, it's literally not a 40-minute flight. Yeah. And when we flew out, you can see obviously the beautiful harbor and everything like that. That whole Northwest is just gorgeous. Everyone thinks the West Coast is California, but the Northwest is absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, it's very gray, though. I mean, it's like it's a bit like the UK in the sense it rains a lot. It's very gray and sort of a little bit colder and stuff. But it is a very nice part of the world for sure. Well, like the Rockies and stuff are really fucking nice up like around there. If you go like if you set off from Vancouver and you go to like Banff or something and you drive or take a bus through the Rockies, it's really nice. You can go on a train that has like a glass roof, you can just look up the whole time and
look
see
at the
mountains
rain
and stuff. Yeah, yeah. Watch the rain fall down, but not go on you because you're inside a train.
Because around Seattle, you've got like that volcano, Mount Rainier, which is right there, and it's huge, and it has like its own, so like all these clouds kind of flowing off it. And I don't know, we don't have anything like that in the UK, like dramatic, super dramatic.
You feel like you're like, you know, it's as close as you're going to get to Mordor when you're out there. Like the big imposing,
in Washington?
Yeah, mountain. And so, yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, this is Earth. It's not Middle Earth. So we don't have like
what are these? Look at this. Mrs. F had a thing at her work conference where you could design your own Adidas trainers as part of the thing. So she's designed a trainer. It's a nice white trainer, everything like that. And on the back, it says Mrs. Flax.
Nice.
That is amazing.
That's pretty cool.
You sell out. Unbelievable. No, that's beautiful. Wowie. She's got Mrs. Flax shoes.
Are they like, bright, like neon pink?
No. It's just a white shoe. And then the sole underneath is kind of a luminous yellow. And then it says Mrs. Flax on the back. That's awesome.
That's pretty cool.
Where's mine that say Mr. Flax? What's this? What did you get me? She got me a present. She got me some, what is that?
Eau de toilette.
Eau de toilette.
Original penguin.
Original penguin eau de toilette. I can smell like a penguin all day. Beautiful.
The penguin out of Batman.
The penguin, yeah. Smell. Smell like Danny DeVito.
Let's do a live
That's an
scent.
Odor. Eau de DeVito.
A live smell test.
Eau de DeVito.
Eau de DeVito.
Oh my God. Anyway,
spray it on your wrist.
Tell
us what's in the air.
Take a real big sniff.
Yeah.
You know what the problem is? I have a terrible sense of smell. I always have had.
Right.
I was hit on the head as a child, and I lost my sense of smell. If I was a supervillain, that would be my genesis story.
You'd be like, oh, God.
Are you like sniffing it massively? You can't smell anything?
I can vaguely smell that there is a scent of some kind on my arm, but I can't actually... I can't detect anything about it. I can't smell flowers either. People are like, oh, can you smell these beautiful flowers? I smell them and I just can't smell
them.
Oh,
man, you know what? You're missing out. I smelled a flower the other day and holy shit, it's incredible how nice they smell.
Like, yeah.
It is.
Listen to what you just said.
It is, though. It's one of those things you just take for granted. You're like, I've smelled like 20 flowers. Fuck, I don't care. But actually, take time to smell one.
Listen to yourself.
They smell amazing. It's incredible. Like the odor, I don't know how it happens. How does like a thing produce that nice smell? It's
have
crazy.
We suddenly just been becoming an old folks home? Oh, Doris, did you smell that lovely flower the other day? Oh, flowers, they really do smell lovely, don't they? Oh, my goodness me. Fucking P-Flax here.
Oh, okay, Mr. Young Cutting Edge. What have you done that's been really exciting recently? You got any stories?
I just love how suddenly
you
woke up
out of
the
bus to the office the other day or something?
That was the most passionate thing you've said for like 3 weeks, Sips.
Yeah, well.
Jesus. So tell me more about this flower. Where did you find it? What was
That's it. That's all I got to say. When we were walking, there was a flower. I was like, I'm going to fucking smell that thing. And I did. And holy shit, it blew my mind.
I've got this sort of idea in my head of like rainbows and like all sparkly stuff happens.
It wasn't even like that nice of a day.
On the street. And then a pony came down the road and said, hey, Sips, would you like to ride me into the sunset? And you got on the pony.
And I sniffed him.
And it took you on a magical journey through ice cream lollipop cookie land.
Well, okay. Well, I was just saying that I smelt a flower, but I mean, if you want to take it to that extreme.
No,
I was walking by a flower.
Just rubbing it in.
It was
what do you mean
really
you were walking
pink.
By a flower?
How is that an unusual statement, Lewis?
I know. Jesus.
Like he's walking by and there's a flower. That's like a daily occurrence. You're walking along. Yeah. There's a flower and you smell it.
It's something out of Alice in Wonderland.
Do you shun the natural world?
You're trying to like lecture us on Zen and everything. I feel like I'm at a point in my own inner peace where I am noticing flowers
That's
now.
That's exactly what it feels like. It feels like you're just in this really happy place. You're walking
yeah,
along.
Yeah, and
you
I'm
see
like,
a flower,
well, shit. You know, I've
you
just seen
hell.
Something that... that
Do you know what?
The world has provided me with this natural beauty and I'm thinking to myself, you know what? I'm going to sniff that motherfucker. And I did. I went right up to it and I gave it a good old sniff. And holy shit, I recommend it, okay? Don't take flowers for granted if you're listening to this right now. If you see a flower, go smell that shit because it smells good, okay? They smell crazy. That like you can see why people like invented perfume and stuff like that because they smell naturally just amazing. Like it's incredible. It's incredible.
That is wonderful.
Oh. I need to take a break. I am just so overwhelmed. <in peace. laughs> No, honestly, though, it was nice. It wasn't like a particularly nice day. A unicorn didn't like come down and have sex with me or anything like that. It was just a normal day. I was walking by. There was like a bush and there was like I guess it was a rose bush, but there was one rose and it just stuck out because it was like bright, bright pink. And I was like, I'm going to smell it. And I did. And
it was
I have
just
no regrets.
Perfectly. You were like
next
a,
time
you were
I
like
see one,
bee.
You bet your ass I'm going to be smelling it. Yeah,
you got careful.
so yeah, man. I can't smell them. Thanks.
No. You're agnostic. Agnostic.
I think it's called anosmia, but I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But I can smell things, but not all things. So my range of smelling must be like you know the way old people can't hear high pitched sounds and low frequency sounds. They're sort of their range of hearing shrinks.
Yeah. Do you smell stuff like through like almost like taste sort of?
No,
would you say
like if I'm cooking, I can smell cooking and I can recognize those smells.
Taste you know, like through smell, not the other way around.
If somebody farts in your face,
if
you do that thing with your nose where like you don't physically pinch your nose to block it, but you know you can sort of like internally like block your nose sort of thing. You know what I mean? If you do that, sometimes you can still almost like taste the fart, like if it's really potent.
Well, it should.
So, like,
I mean, if you think about it,
maybe
it's particles of poop. Like when you fart, there's particles of poop floating through the air and some of them you're
sniffing. But most of them just get caught up in like the fabric of your jeans and
That's
stuff like that.
That's not quite what it is. There's like sulfur compounds and things like this that are gaseous that are released.
But if you
at
fart
time,
in someone's eye, you'll give them pink eye. So
well, but
it's poop particles.
Whatever.
Yeah, but what if you're wearing jeans though? Because like with a high thread count as well, you know.
I think everyone should wear a high thread count, especially in the butt area, so none of us get pink eye. Let's think that's the thing.
I think if we're going to remain in the EU, there should be some sort of incentive for doing that. And I think the EU should regulate. I think they should say, all right, jeans companies, we've had enough now. You need to up your thread count, especially around the ass area, because there are poo particles getting loose, and they are giving people pink eye, and they are going in their mouth so they can taste your farts, and it's not on. That'd be great.
100%.
Some people, you got to cater for that niche kind of kink market there who do want that, actually. You know, that's their thing. You know,
it's not a kink thing. I think it's a social thing.
How do you think you lost your sense of smell, P-Flex? Because I always think that, like, smokers, like, I don't know if you ever did this, but have you ever like smoked a cigarette in your nose? Have you ever like
sniffed? Yeah, loads of times.
I reckon that's what's done it.
No, I think it was when I got hit on the head as I was a kid. I have a scar on my head from where a bicycle fell on my head, and I think it fell on the smell part of my brain. That's my theory. That's the that's our working theory, that the PFLAX is brain scientists, the little guys in my brain that try and figure stuff out. They've come up with that.
Did you actually notice that you couldn't smell like following that incident? Or no, is this like a couple of years later, point, you're just like,
yeah. Quick, we figured out the latest brain science.
We've cracked it. My God, we've cracked it.
When that bicycle hit the head, it completely took out the whole smell area. What are we going to do?
That's my brain scientist.
Hey, Rocky, what's up, brain? You have to have like the sidekick thing too, right?
You don't think it was anything to do with all those cigarettes we smoked through the nose for like 10 years? No. It was definitely when we got hit on the head with a bicycle when we were a child.
The nicotine department of the brain says it was definitely 100% not that. So let's keep smoking.
Oh, shit. Man, do you ever blow smoke out of your nose?
Yeah, sure.
That shit hurts too, doesn't it? Like, no, makes it makes you go like watery eyed.
You get used to it. Maybe you're just used to it now. Once you've killed off all of your.
Do you miss actual cigarettes now that you vape full time?
No. I mean, it's kind of the coolness of them compared to vaping. Vaping is not cool. Like, anyone that thinks vaping is cool is wrong. It's not.
I like the sound it makes though. Like, when we're playing games and stuff, occasionally just in the background, I can hear like
the crackle.
Yeah.
It does sound like you're sparking up a crack pipe or something, you know, with one of those.
Just such like a sexy noise. I mean, how long before a movie character tries to be all cool and there's just a vape pen slides up out of shot into their mouth and just like...
Yeah. I don't know, I think you and Doug can make it look pretty cool, you know, when we're sitting around, just you two are just surrounded in this big cloud of vape, like, I don't know, I think you managed to pull it off, you know.
Maybe.
I think it's cooler than you think.
Yeah. I think it's because honestly, I have a base level of coolness that is unaffected by the vape, you know what I mean?
I don't think it's so cool now, because when I see, like, Tom and Adrian smoking their really dirty, filthy roll-ups, they're so sort of grungy and pale and yellow teeth, yellow fingernails, you know, compared to you and
it stinks.
Duncan, who vape.
It really
it's
stinks.
Not, yeah, it does
actually,
stink,
I think, you know, when you look down the table, like, I think the people who are vaping are kind of cooler than the people who are smoking these
things. I don't know, man.
So, yeah. I don't know, maybe it's going to change. The vapes are looking more futuristic and... But some of them do look fucking gay.
You can get those ones that look like cigarettes, though. But they're not.
They're garbage. I think the problem is that vaping has sort of it's decided that it's a subculture when it's actually just smoking. So now you've got like competitive vaping and people who are like walk
competitive
around with
vaping.
Seriously. They get into a ring and they try and blow the biggest cloud of smoke that they can. And there's some people, like, if you get people who are all nerdy about it, they're talking about it in ways that are kind of like, geez, would you just shut up and just relax? It's just
we shouldn't
smoke.
Really be glamorizing vaping, by the way.
You just did, Lewis. You just said it was cool. You're the one glamorizing it. I'm de-glamorizing it.
Cigarettes. But I think that you and Duncan and also Shin have actually said to me quite a few times that vaping actually does, like, they think it like decreases their lung capacity. Shin has definitely noticed his fitness dropping after doing vaping and stuff and feeling like less able to like do cardio. So I don't think that it is good for you.
It sure
in any
is
way,
hell ain't
shape,
good
or form.
For you. I don't think anyone's saying it's good for you. I did lose a lot of weight when I started vaping. because it's
well, that's because nicotine
exactly.
Is like this,
but
this
I didn't want to chew the gum
suppressant.
Because I didn't want to walk around chewing gum all the time.
No,
and I kind of liked. I missed smoking, so it worked for me. But I lost like 30 pounds when I started vaping.
Yeah, I noticed actually because I sort of met you before you started vaping too much. I think.
Yeah.
And then you started vaping a lot. Yeah, and I've because lately you came by and you definitely. Definitely lost some weight. I think you might have lost a bit of muscle too, though. You were definitely less muscular last
time. Oh, no,
time
I just never
you.
Move.
Ah.
Oh.
It's the old...
It's like that guy. It's like the guy who only eats Big Macs, and you're like, well, that guy should be really fat, but he's really skinny, and it's because he's, like, on the verge of dying, so...
Yeah, thanks.
But yeah. I don't think that's you, Flex.
No,
I think you're
fine. I think
you're
all right. I think you look great, actually, Flex.
Thanks, buddy.
Nicely. Yeah, it's good.
Given
it allows you to.
When we were doing the live stream, there's hot ladies that were adding me on Twitter, so they definitely think I'm hot. And of course, Mrs. F hasn't left me yet, so that's in the plus column as well.
Sweet.
Everything's coming it's up, quite... P-Flax.
Fuck.
Yeah. You
know,
you smelled a flower a couple of days ago.
Yeah, smelled a flower, feeling good. And
everything is fucking hunky-dory, isn't it, at the moment? Holy
fucking
shit.
Hunky-dory. Holy shit. Yeah. Until we leave the EU and then.
Everything's on fire.
Everything goes on fire, yeah.
Yeah, everything will spontaneously catch fire. Yeah, we'll find out what's going to happen. So with I mean, I was a
when will
bit
we
kind
know?
Of,
like, I'm excited now. Like, when?
I
when,
assume
tonight?
Well, the votes don't close till 10.
Oh.
And then it usually happens
it'll
like...
come pouring in. And
for an election, there's usually an exit poll, but I don't think there's an exit poll in a referendum. So I think that we'll probably know by tomorrow morning.
Yeah.
Usually.
They'll do their all-night thing. Where they all just sit around looking haggard and suggesting things and going live to places. And like, this is my problem with news reporting now is they don't report the news after it's happened.
No.
They're obsessed with reporting it continually from start to finish and then having a massive wrap-up show and talking about it for weeks afterwards because they've got to fill so many hours of news.
Yeah, yeah.
It used to be, here's the news. It's half an hour long. We're going to tell you all the important shit that's happened now that it's happened. But now it's like, no. As it's breaking, we're going to stay with this story, this story as it unravels, and we're going to go and interview people and ship all our millions of journalists here, there, and everywhere to bring you vital news about something. It's just
they
crazy.
They really scrape the barrel sometimes, like with the up-to-the-minute stuff, because they're just stammering a bit, because there's nothing to actually say, because nobody's like talking to them or telling them what's going on or whatever. So they'll have like some really obscure view from like some weird vantage point that they're just about allowed to be at, where you can't actually see anything that's going on.
Yeah.
And then occasionally you'll like see a cop run by or something. It's like, oh, there's a cop here. Oh, you know, and
then they'll show that three times in the next half an hour. We do have footage of police in the area, and also the whole way they talk changes. Like if you look at newsreaders, they all, especially reporters, they all talk with the exact same cadence. They do this thing where they will slow down and look at their papers. They'll look at the camera, look back at their papers, and we will be going live because the producers in the area going, for Christ's sake, go to the outside broadcast.
Don't mention that cop again. 15 times in the past 3 minutes. We're going to break.
So they've got to
try to like talk while
calm.
This is all happening.
Yeah. So, and then they're also being told, we're getting breaking news that there's a cockroach crawling up your leg. And there is a cockroach crawling up my leg. As we speak, let's go live now to my leg with reporter Steve Bergenson.
They do like the slow talk thing, but then they sort of transition into the fast talk when the orders have been received, sort of thing. Yeah. So they'll be like, and that will bring us nicely into the next part. And then they just like fucking go off on one, like talking really fast to like their guest or whatever.
Outside Jersey Crown Court, where a flower in the bed
is being
has been
sniffed,
the center of attention. Yeah, I sniffed it. It was great. I thought it was smelled really nice.
Nature's gift to us in a way. It's the smell of flowers.
My inner zen is really thriving.
I've got a boner just thinking about it. I brought my friend over. He couldn't fucking smell it. What an idiot.
Vapes all the time.
He's over there behind that cloud of
smoke. Had a bike accident. Can't smell flowers anymore.
I didn't come here to be mocked, guys. Fuck you.
No, man, I'm not mocking you. Jeez.
Tell us about this biking accident.
I was in a garage. This is when I lived in New York. And
whoa, you lived in New York?
Yeah, yeah. Till I was like 8. So I grew up in Queens, really. And then one of our neighbors, like where we lived in the States, it was lovely. Actually, it was the part of Queens we were in wasn't like especially amazing. It was Jackson Heights, so it's an okay area. You know, it's come up a bit on sort of, and then it's gone down a bit. But all the people that had money in Jackson Heights moved out to Flushing about 15, 20 years ago. So it's kind of changed. But anyway, where I grew up, all the houses on my sort of row, I guess there were about 20 of them, there was a driveway that ran along the back of all the houses, and the other sort of opposite the houses. So you had the back of the house, the driveway, and then every house had a garage like behind it.
Yeah.
So as a kid, I would go up and down this driveway, and I knew all my neighbors, and I'd go and catch like free biscuits and sweets and things, and I'd go hang out with with them, and because it was a different time, people had all this garden furniture out the back, and they'd sit out there in the weather, and they'd have barbecues and stuff like that. And it was great. I mean, I knew everybody. Like, I can still remember whose house and who lived where. It was like, you know, it was really, I think it was very, very important to me as a kid, being able to chat to all those people. And they were from all over the world as well. So it was really cool, this kind of, you know, this cool area. And Jimmy, who was the Irish guy that ran a computer sort of programming thing from his basement, we were in his garage one time messing about, and he had a bicycle up on the wall, and I touched it.
Just hacking into the FBI or something.
Like, and it fell off the rack on the wall, and the forks on the front of the bicycle, because it didn't have wheels on, hit me right on the top of the head. Yeah. And it was snowing at the time, so there was like a foot of snow, and I'm walking back through the snow, and there's blood falling from my head onto the snow. And Jimmy was like distraught. He was like really upset, and he was crying and everything like that because he thought it really hurt me and everything. And my mum was like, "Oh, it'll be fine."
It's kind of like picking up an egg with a pair of chopsticks. That's what I'm imagining is happening to your head.
My head?
Yeah, so I like had the hair forks then, on the bike. Oh shit! Of course you did. I just always assume you've been bald since of 6.
I do wonder if the bang on the head affected the my hair. You know what I mean?
Like Maybe it was just like a catalyst for a lot of things in your life that you don't realize. Like,
it feels like you're blaming that bicycle accident for a lot of the shit that's happened to you.
I'm really trash in bed as well, and I wonder if when that bike hit me, somehow hurt the part of my brain.
I have real trouble getting an erection. That must have been the bike accident.
I find it impossible to pleasure a woman. Maybe it was the bike.
Bang on the head.
I really like the smell of farts in my face. That's the only thing I can smell now. I'm sure that's related.
Hey, Perrin, you want to go out today to the pub? Nah, I got that bang on the head, didn't I, when I was 7. So I'm just going to stay in bed all day.
You're on your way to the pub and you see somebody ride by on a bike. You get triggered. I got to go home, guys. Bye. I got to go.
Mr. Forsyth, you haven't paid your taxes for the last 10 years. Yeah, I got a bang on the head, didn't I, when I was a kid?
Yeah, it's
got a real bang right in the tax portion of the brain.
Right in the tax portion. Yeah, I can't figure it out. It's just
beyond me.
This aversion to paying tax ever since. I can't quite do it.
I think that's a fairly common problem. Holy shit.
What?
So,
a bang on the head.
What have you guys been doing this week? Have you guys been anywhere, done anything?
I was with you,
man,
for 3 days.
I smelled a flower. Holy shit. That's about it. That's all I got.
Oh yeah, me and P-Flex did this day of driving around tanks, which was pretty good, wasn't it, P-Flex?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Was that fun?
It was fun.
Yeah, it was good.
More fun for them. I just stood around in the rain.
Dad's.
Yeah.
No, you drove the tanks just as much as we did.
I drove a couple of tanks.
This was a sponsored thing for World of Tanks, right?
That's right, yeah. So we got some remote control tanks, and it was pretty fucking cool.
Nice.
We drove them about and had a good time, really. I think we had a lot of extra stuff and fun. It was something that I think that Duncan... A lot of these brand deals are things that we wanted to do but haven't had the money to do to some extent, so... You know, Duncan bought like an airsoft tank, a little crappy one, and drove it around the office for a bit. And it was fun. And we were saying, oh man, we should really just go out and drive these around and fight them and blow up stuff in real life and do some fun stuff. And so when it came along, the World of Tanks said, hey, have you got any ideas for a video? We were like, yes, let's buy all these really expensive, cool RC tanks and blow them up. So that's what we did. And it was really fun.
They are so cool, the tank sips. Like when... They're pretty big. They're like the size of a cereal box, right?
I think I saw one when I was in Bristol last. I think Ben had one on his desk. Yeah. Or Tom had one on his desk. Yeah, they're pretty big.
They're awesome.
Yeah.
And when you turn, like on the good, like some of them have better remote controls than the others. So on the good ones, you push the engine button and it goes like that, like someone starting an engine.
Oh, nice.
And then smoke comes out of the engine exhaust at the back.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's got like machine gun noises. You can shoot BBs. And the tank actually rocks backwards when it shoots, as if it's firing like a...
That's like awesome, that.
Yeah, it was really cool.
It was really good.
And they've got proper tracks.
All those little details are important, though, right? Because enthusiasts are, like, all over that shit.
Oh, yeah. And
we got told off, though, for shooting a cameraman quite a lot.
Yeah, you shot him a lot. Like, Tom was angry. Because Tom's a big guy, and he's, you know, he's from farm stock. So you wouldn't mess with him. He'll run you through with something.
Yeah.
Don't make me get the axe, Lewis. I'll run you through.
Yeah, so that's what we did. And then Tuesday you stayed here, didn't you, Pete?
Yeah.
And you recorded some other stuff, which we're not going to talk about just in case it doesn't actually happen.
Oh,
but it was cool. It was a cool concept.
Yeah.
And it is related to this channel, actually, as well. You might see it on the YogPod channel or on the YogPod feed.
Right.
So, yeah, it's interesting, Sips. But, yeah, we'll let you know more about that next week if it actually comes out.
Okay.
We'll talk about it. Yeah, it's cool. What have you been doing, Sips? Anything happening?
Besides smelling flowers, what have I been doing? I've been playing.
I'm prancing through fields.
Yeah, prancing through fields. I've been doing that a lot. I've just been admiring nature and just working on my inner peace, you know, day by day.
You know,
I'm getting there.
Rescuing kittens.
Do you think the Zen episode that we did has gradually rubbed off on you in some way?
I don't know. I think like when I was 8, I had this incident where a bike fell on my head.
Because you were totally bald at that point.
Yeah,
like
and
an egg.
I was just like
the fork. Just
ever since then, I've just felt compelled to sniff flowers and work on my inner peace.
I wonder if what actually happened, Sips, was that we both had a bicycle fall on our head and like some kind of quantum leap thing.
Yeah,
our lives at that point diverged so that you
get
to enjoy the flowers and I don't,
because you were both in America. Yeah, it starts
That's
making
right.
sense.
I mean, I wasn't technically in America.
Oh,
but.
North America is
North America, yeah.
You were split like that.
Yeah,
like
we're on the same continent.
Separated.
So, yeah.
At birth.
Yeah.
Well, how old were you? What year was it when you were 8?
1988.
Okay, so I was 1984.
All right.
So you got hit on the head when you were 4. That's the only way this works.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
And of course, your head isn't fully developed at that age. It's still like soft in parts, so... it's
went
quite possible.
Mushed
that
right into my brain.
Mushed, yeah. Mushed all the important sort of receptors and stuff. And that's how.
Maybe that's why I hate the Tour de France so much. I wonder if
maybe
it all goes back to that.
Do you actually hate the Tour de France?
Oh, I hate it.
Yeah, it's kind of boring, eh?
So boring.
Fucking Tour de France sucks. Who likes the Tour de France?
My mother-in-law?
No one.
Well, there you go. That's one person. My father-in-law does as well.
That
he's French,
help.
Though. So
the entirety of France?
Yeah,
they love
French.
It.
The
French love it.
France
man.
Do not like the Tour
Are
de France.
Are you kidding?
They fucking do. Are you
it's
crazy?
It's literally called the Tour de France. Like it's like the biggest
patriotism in France is crazy. Like you just
it.
Have to say the word France, and in like the title of something you're doing, like dogging in France,
like,
and like the whole nation like dogging. Wah! I love dogging. Like they fucking love it.
Oh shit, so Euro is carrying on in France, the tournament. You watched any of the games, Pflex? Because you'd watched all of them up till
yeah
last
I'd watched
week,
all of them
you?
Until I obviously, you know, when I came down we were doing stuff, so I missed,
you missed
some
a couple.
Of the but yeah, but it's okay. But I watched the games last night and
I'm
the, and then
sorry
I,
was, I broke your perfect
no, no,
game watching
it's fine
record.
They were okay games, but they weren't like the last night was really the last couple of nights have been fantastic for the football, actually. Really, really good. Some great games, great results, and a lot of teams have gone through. Like Ireland, 85th minute winner against Italy. Huge, huge game. Iceland, like 92nd minute winner against Austria. So they went through the next round. Hungary and Portugal, 3-3. It was like the game of the tournament. Croatia beat Spain. It's just been brilliant. It's been a Northern Ireland went through. They managed to just get... they only lost 1-0 to Germany, so they went through. It's just,
I heard
it's just
Iceland had got through to the last 16.
Yeah, they did. They were
a country of 300,000 people,
yeah,
which is like more, you know, about the same amount of people living in Bristol. Mm. You know, it's like a
yeah, the
population. There's 300,000 people living in Bristol. Jeez.
Yeah.
It's almost identical to the population of Leicester. And 10% of them are in France. The whole country, 10% of the entire population, has gone to France to watch the tournament. It's incredible.
Jeez.
And I mean,
you're kidding me.
No.
10% of the population of Iceland is now in France.
Yeah.
But fucking what is the island like?
Hey, they got a route. They got a route for their boys.
Yeah, they know it's important. And they're going nuts. They've got a great chant where they sort of
who's running everything in Iceland if 10% of the population are off on fucking holiday.
Well, the other 90%. I mean,
it's EVE Online and the servers just run themselves. At this point,
I'd love to be part of a country that like half of it fucking goes off on holiday to like watch the thing. That's so cool.
Yeah. Oh, they love it.
They can just do it remotely. They can do the server admin remotely from their mobile phones now, so they're fine.
They run it the same way that they run the island in Lost. You know, you just have to press that button every time.
Yeah,
the counter.
Somebody
comes
just
around.
Has to log in and press a button.
So
done.
We watched me and PFlex watched the England Slovakia game in the pub. Okay,
right.
Just around the corner.
Yeah,
and it reminded me of watching football with my dad a little bit. Yeah. Because obviously PFlex is a dad. He sort of has the dad mannerisms now. I guess he's about the same age as my dad might have been when I was a little kid. I don't know. It just felt very sort of comfortable.
Did you do that thing where, like, because you don't normally go to the pub to watch football, you cheered at an inappropriate time and all of, like, the hardened pub goers were like, sit down, turtleneck, we're trying to watch our fucking game.
It was a little bit like that.
Who
actually
let this nerd in here?
It was a little bit like that. I think people go to the pub when football's on to talk to other people about football because they haven't got anyone else at home or whatever. So it tends to be people in there who want to talk to you about this sort of game and say things about it. But actually, it wasn't too much like too bad, was it, PFlex?
No. So, yeah, I mean, I've been in some pubs where there's been football on and it's just the worst. Like, people feel, I think a lot of people that don't really understand football but maybe watch it in the pub a lot think that watching it in the pub, it, like, that they're somehow part of an experience or that they're shouting of, this is shit, Hodgson, change something, is actually going to matter. Like, they'll shout something out like that. And you think, what's, like, you just come to shout with the TV with other people. Like, you're not actually enjoying this. You're just shouting at the TV and I guess looking for some kind of group agreement.
I don't know. There's a different experience to be had there, right? It's like going to a cinema. Like, I remember watching Kill Bill on the first night it came out on the showing, and the cinema was absolutely packed. There was not a seat free, and the atmosphere watching that movie was amazing. It was so strange. Like, there were, like, the audience, like, kind of response and, like, you know, just the way everyone behaved in, like, the scaredy bits. Everyone was, like, suddenly all quiet. But because it was really a different experience watching it with a big group of people. And I think the pub is obviously too different, right? If you're sitting at home with your dad and you're, like, 6 or 7 years old and he's like, oh, God, yeah, come on. We're just passing it around, just kicking it around. You know, it's different to being in a pub full of rowdy English fans. Mm. I don't know. It's you've got to experience these things, right? You've got to life is about little things. Like, even voting today, man, that was just a little different experience, that something that I haven't done before.
You've never voted before?
Well, I have, but not in Bristol, not like for a referendum, not for a lot of different things. I went into this
voting place. Oh, so you've already voted?
There was no one in there, right? It was literally me. There was one guy. I was like, hey, is this... do I vote here? He's like, yep, who are you? I'm like, I've got a card.
Well, I'm Lewis Bridley of the Yogscast. Yeah. Well, come in, we have a special golden booth.
I'm 36 years old, I make $45,000 a year, and I'm voting Brexit.
This place stinks.
I just told him my life story. Oh, fuck me.
Fuck.
So yeah, I don't know, it was nice. It's like life is sometimes a little bit about different differences. Like, your brain doesn't remember the repetitive stuff. So you should always challenge yourself to do something different and get out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And not be scared. Because,
vote.
It's cool.
Go watch football in the pub. Sniff a flower.
Go watch football in the pub. If you've never watched football in the pub
accident.
Before, go watch an English game in a pub and sing a game of a pub and see what it's like.
Yeah, it's horrible, experience. By the way.
Get out there and live, for Christ's sake. Jeez.
Yeah. God damn it. Sniff a flower.
Sniff a fucking...
Just fucking do
just
it.
Just fucking do it.
Fucking sniff a flower. Come on. Sorry.
Yeah. It's okay.
That's a hallmark of a good motivational speaker, though. You just have to start yelling and really get people, like, all fired up.
Yeah.
I've been playing lots of Hearts of Iron recently. I know Flax has as well. And we started a game the other day, the three of us, which is pretty fun. Looking forward to playing more of that today if we get a chance. You know, it's all about World War II, and you know, there's obviously some big players in World War II, like famous sort of people that were involved in and around World War II or whatever, including Hitler. And so I read about Hitler a little bit for whatever reason. And turns out he was like a really excellent public speaker. And he had like, he employed like these things in his public speaking where at the time, like not many people did, like, you know, like the psychological side of it. And people thought that he was able to like brainwash crowds and stuff.
Wow.
Do you think you could do that, Lewis, with your live your life speech?
It's tough, right? You got to give credit to the Nazis, right? They
wow.
They okay. We're talking about public speaking.
They were cool, right?
Right. Okay.
Black uniforms, great. The style, yep. the okay. architecture.
This uh-huh. took a, this I mean, took they, a turn I wasn't expecting.
Yeah, it's the Brindley effect. Carry on. Go on. What were you going to say about the Nazis? Cool uniforms. Yeah.
I mean, you've got to understand that, you know, he had some charisma, didn't he? Or else he wouldn't have been able to brainwash an entire nation.
The thing
nation,
is, if you watch his speeches from our perspective now, he looks mental, right? He looks absolutely mental.
Yeah. And the things that he said were clearly mental as well.
Yeah.
You know, nowadays, like, you know, people have to say these really clever things, you know, that like resonate deep with people. But like the stuff he was saying at the time, and maybe it was just a sign of the time, was just very simple. It was like storybook kind of shit, you know.
Yeah.
It was like,
so
this
strange.
Is our enemy and we will crush them. And guess what? When I say crush them, literally that's what I mean. And that's like the speech. But people like lapped it up. They're like,
wow. Because I guess nobody really did that up to that point. Like, if you think about politics up to that point, they must have just gone up and said, hello, everything's fine, and everyone applauded politely, and that was the end of it. And a lot of people have monarchies, so the king was just like, I don't even have to tell you what we're doing. I am king, and I'm still here. Wave, wave, wave. Give me your money. What's up? And Hitler goes in and goes and starts shouting a lot and waving his hand around and gesticulating wildly. And they're like, wow, this is a whole new way of speaking publicly that we've never really seen much of before.
Yeah. So, I mean, it was highly effective at the time. And there was like accounts of, you know, like the Hitler Youth. One member of the Hitler Youth saying that he just had this way about him, or this energy or stage presence or something. I don't know. But apparently by the end of it, all these kids are like tears streaming down their faces and they're doing the fucking Hail Hitler's like there's no tomorrow and stuff. And you just think, how the hell? Like, that's crazy. But I guess at the time, maybe. Yeah. They needed that.
World War II is really, really interesting era of history, and it's filled with an absolute tragedy, really. So many people died. There were so many of these governments that just wanted to snap up land. You know, everyone was looking to poach land from someone. You know, Russia wanted a little bit of Romania, a little bit of Finland. They wanted a little bit of Poland. You know, Italy wanted little bits of the areas around them. Everyone, Spain, you know, were messing around wanting bits
fascism
and bobs of this
was just
and that.
So popular
Germany wanted
at the
a bit
time
of
as
France,
well,
a bit of this, and it was all very. Yeah. It was a lot of tension, and a lot of fascism was a big thing. And
I think
it was,
you know,
really,
what I think a lot of it was the fact that it wasn't that many generations after, you know, all the sort of Napoleonic era and all those kind of wars, and a lot of stuff was historically this shitty bit of farmland should belong to us, and the people there kind of look like us and kind of talk like us, so we should get that back. And they're like,
I think on the German side as well, there was a lot of bitterness over World War
One. Oh yeah.
And there was
absolutely.
A lot of things that they viewed as being a bit unjust following World War One,
and rightly so in many cases.
Yeah, no, the Treaty of Versailles. They said at the time, this isn't a declaration of peace. This is like a declaration for war or something. Because, I mean, they knew that it was just going to postpone it. And that's why the French had the biggest fucking army in the world at that time. It was fucking huge.
Yeah.
And then, you know, it was like, I think the problem was that they knew the war was coming, but everyone was kind of hoping it wouldn't. And they sort of kept trying to appease Hitler and saying, well, maybe if we just let him, you know, give him a bit of Poland, or maybe if we just let him nick big chunks of Czechoslovakia, everything will be fine. And it wasn't. It was just, yeah. I mean, I think what was interesting for me about it is that it was the last era when you could have a war that wouldn't just end the planet, you know? Like, you could have a war of that size involving that many countries and the entire world, and it wouldn't just end up as a molten slag of lava.
Right, yeah. Nowadays, it wouldn't be, you know, World War One, the trench warfare, and it was very much... you know, centered around, you know, people sitting in a trench and then repeatedly sort of trying to charge another trench.
Tactics hadn't kept up with technology, basically. Yeah.
But World War II was a bit more refined in that, you know, tanks and planes and ships played a bigger part, obviously, but it was still very much land battles. You know, there was still massive amounts of troops marching around, claiming sort of territory and this and that. Like a lot of like the big battles were land-based battles involving, like, you know, regiments and regiments of troops and stuff. But nowadays, obviously, that wouldn't be the case. It would just be drones bombing people remotely from somebody's basement.
Also, if you put that many troops in the field, they'd just get nuked. Or just they'd just get bombed to shit. It would be, what's the point? I mean, whereas back then, the planes had to fly slowly overhead. And, you know, you didn't have you didn't have the kind of ground-to-air missiles and all that kind of stuff. But I think that I remember reading that if there was a war, like modern war, with all the technology we've got, that the life expectancy of, like, the average soldier would be like a minute. Because the moment the battle starts, it would just be like, everybody just drops everything, and it's like, okay, well, GG.
Well, that's what they said about World War II. The average lifespan of a tank in World War II was 3 minutes.
Once the fight started.
In combat,
once it rolled off the production line. That would be a problem. We should stop making these things, guys. We can't
even get these things out the front door.
Just keep blowing up. What the hell?
Oh, man. Shit. Yeah, it's interesting. It's such a huge conflict, though, that there's always something new to read about.
Honestly, World War II.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's so cool. Like, well, the best things I like about World War II is that World War II was won with British intelligence, American steel, and Russian blood. So many people died. So many Russians died. I think Hitler...
I think, honestly, it's
horrible to think about the numbers. There's a really good video that came out a while ago, a sort of demographic type thing, of just how many people died in World War II and how many of them were Russian.
I think all told, civilian and military, is like across the world, is like 50 million or something.
I think it was 60. It's about 60 million. Yeah.
It's crazy. Terrible. It's just
I mean, people think World War II, you know, was won by, you know, the UK and France and America, whereas really it was kind of won by Russia just being unbelievably cruel to their people. It was Stalin willing to go to the most extreme lengths to sacrifice a generation of Russian men to, you know, a holy amount. The one thing that Hitler failed to do really was that he underestimated the cruelty of Stalin.
And you know what else they underestimated was the willingness of the Russian people to fight like that. Like, it wasn't just, it's not like him just saying, let's do this, but everybody doing it. Because, I mean, there were a number of things that the Germans found out when they started the Eastern Front. They won really quickly. And they, like, Hitler's plan was, we'll just live off the land. Like, he literally thought they could just live off the land. And wait.
Like Russia was meant to be like their granary.
Yeah. And they just burnt it all. And then every time they caught up to some Russians and surrounded them, instead of just giving up like the French did, because they were like defeatist, the Russians are like, we will fight till we have literally out of bullets, and then we'll just fight with our hands.
Yeah, I mean, Russia had the buddy system too, right? They didn't even have the equipment. It was like one gun for two guys. Like when one guy died, the other guy would just pick up his gun and carry on, sort of thing. Like it's
a lot of people were just given a clip of ammo rather than a gun.
Yeah, good luck.
Just throw these bullets. Drop them from tall buildings and
hope
for the best.
They gave them bicycles with no wheels on the front forks. Hit them in the head, get them in the smells.
I remember talking about like buddy system. I read a little bit about the PALS battalions in World War One.
Yeah.
So this was when basically it was one of these ideas that Kitchener had in World War One to get conscript people. It was that what you do is you'd sign up with all of your pals. And so, you know, I think one of the first ones that formed was actually the London Stockbrokers Battalion, for example. And there were a bunch of them formed, like, mostly out of local towns or local schools. And what happened was when some of them went over the top in the trenches on some of these big battles like Ypres, they just got completely wiped out. And, you know, the entire male population of these towns was wiped out. And
crazy.
That's why now, you know, when you join up, when you sign up to the army or whatever, you get sort of randomly assigned to a regiment. So you might not be from Middlesex, but you'd get signed to the Middlesex regiment.
Yeah, because if you all get assigned together, then your regiment gets wiped out or whatever, you're not going to like totally like, there's just screw these over ghost one towns. Town. Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's crazy. But I was reading as well that apparently like a lot of the downfall of Germany in World War II was Hitler was just so unwell in the end, and he was just making these terrible fucking military decisions. Like, he had all these people, like top brass, that were making these decisions to, like, carry on through to, like, Moscow and stuff like that, and Hitler would just override them and be like, no, stop here and do this instead, and then they would just lose, like, tons of their fucking army and everything, and in the end it was just like these huge defeats started piling up, yeah. And then that was it, sort of thing.
Like, he wouldn't give them winter gear, because he said, now if we give them winter gear, they'll settle down for the winter. We've got to give them no winter gear so they're motivated to fight, and then they'll win quicker. Stuff like that.
But apparently he was like on like all sorts of medication and drugs and everything.
God,
and,
yeah.
And like a lot of people, like historians, sort of think that he was just so fucking crazy in the end that like he just didn't know what he was doing.
He was like if you put Michael Jackson in charge of a massive army. Very charismatic guy, you know, great singer, but he, when it comes to tactics, he's left wanting.
Yeah, well, look at Neverland.
Let's just walk backwards, boys. Moonwalk backwards.
What I want to say is, when we play games like Civ and Hearts of Iron and things like this, and Stellaris 2 to something, only F4X game where you are sacrificing millions of men, it's strange how detached you get from that, okay, when we play it. I think that's similar to how these generals and these monarchs are in their palaces. The numbers become meaningless to you after a while.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I have no problem sending 5 submarines into an American fleet of like 200 ships, because I'm just like, whatever. Something's got to give here. But, you know, obviously, when you get down to it, a bunch of guys from London are all crewing that submarine, and when that thing goes down, well,
so
you know, their whole
we're
town.
Getting through this podcast, this great. I don't think we should talk too much about World War II, but if you guys love World War II like we do, you know, you should just read about it on Wikipedia all day.
Yeah,
I don't know, it's fascinating.
It's like there's really like interesting books about it, and so it's a really complex,
really interesting
sort of slice of history. But yeah, there's a lot of like
really
interesting
that
stuff
ago,
that happened.
Yeah,
either,
no, not really. Not in the grand scheme of things, no.
I mean, my mum was born in 1944, and her father, so my grandfather on her side, or in fact, all my grandparents and all my wife's grandparents, all of our grandparents fought in one way or the other in World War II. So it's that recent. It's insane to think about it, but yeah, there's pictures of my grandfather training up. He's got like a rifle and everything like that, and he was in the Air Force and he was shot down. He was Canadian. He was in the Canadian Air Force, shot down over France, and had to escape.
He must have been like the only guy, because the Air Force is so small.
It was just him. They shot him down. They're like, we've defeated the Canadian Air Force. He's like, I've got to get out of here. So he was like being chased by Germans with dogs and stuff. And,
he
managed to get to the resistance. And what people don't like think about the resistance as being this sort of heroic band that saved everybody. Well, a lot of the time they were like, what are we going to do with this guy? Like, well, he's kind of a liability, so we'll kill him. But he, luckily, they said, no, we'll get you out. But he was worried that they were going to kill him, because they do that sometimes. Rather than, you know, have this guy get captured or tortured and give up their position, they were like, we can't get you out, but equally, you're not French, so you're not going to be like, you know, you're not going to resist to the end and say, I will never tell you where the secret base is. You just say, once they start pulling out your fingernails, you say, oh, they're in the cafe. And they'll go, oh, the cafe. Why didn't we see that coming? They're in the flipping cafe. So, yeah, so he was able to get out, luckily. And then, of course, you know, have my dad and then me.
Nice.
So it was pretty clutch.
That's pretty clutch. It could have
GG, granddad.
Could have gone either way. I think, like, you know, when you watch footage or you watch documentaries about World War II, and they talk about, you know, some of the big battles and stuff, like the way that it's recounted and the way that it's portrayed is always in a certain way, obviously. But they almost make it seem like everybody involved just knew exactly what the fuck they were doing. And like, I don't think that that's the case in war in general. Like, I mean, if you take for instance, nowadays we have all this technology and everything, and still, you know, like in more recent conflicts, there's been tons of friendly fire incidents. There's been miscommunication. There's been all sorts of shit. Imagine how much of that must have happened back then, you know, like when there wasn't the technology, took a long time for orders to come through or for people to like know what to do and stuff. Like, it must have been, as a soldier, like on the front line, I bet you, I'd say like 95% of the time, you just didn't know what the fuck was happening. You're probably so scared. probably just like trying not to get killed. You probably didn't know where you were being shot from half the time and stuff. And it's like, it's kind of a miracle that like, you know, things turned out the way that they did and, you know, that we're not all fucking, I don't know, still living.
Friendly fire accounts like for about sometimes about 10% of deaths in battle. Because it's difficult to tell who's on each side, you know.
Yeah. It's not an accurate comparison, but like if you've ever been like paintballing or like airsofting or whatever before, like you don't know who the fuck is on your team half the time. Like you're assuming the people behind you are on your team, but that may not be the case. So like it must be so like confusing, and it must just add like another layer of, you know, uncertainty and fear on top of like the many others that are already there.
Not
you know,
to mention, but like, if you're firing artillery, I mean, they didn't have the kind of GPS stuff that we have now.
It was all like trigonometry, right? Yeah. Like they just like sort of
and
had
you're
to,
in a plane, you're flying, you don't have any of that heat seeking stuff. You just see some smoke from maybe a vehicle and some dudes running about, and they're wearing very similar uniforms to your guys. You're like, let's take a chance. They might be bad guys.
They only have the notion of firing in that direction because some dudes literally ran over there to check for them like an hour before as well. You know, it's like, or if they were lucky, maybe a plane spotted something, but you know what I mean? Like
unbelievable.
It's kind of nuts. Like I don't know. Like when I'm reading like a lot of stuff about World War II, I think about that often. Like it's just crazy to think that people managed to do something.
Anything.
A lot of, much of anything. Yeah. With
a lot of friendly fire stuff. I know a little bit about some of this because there was one particular one I seem to remember where there were some concentration camp survivors. I think like about sort of 5,000 concentration camp survivors and some other prisoners of war were actually a lot of friendly fire happened by the Air Force and like the Luftwaffe and like because I think it was much more difficult on planes to know where you were. And so a lot of the time they were bombing the wrong cities sometimes. They would the anti-aircraft guns would shoot down the wrong planes. And I think that they ended up bombing, I think a lot of concentration camp survivors were killed, about 5,000 in when the RAF bombed some of the wrong boats, which is a really a bad way to go, I think. Crikey, if you've managed to survive the Holocaust only to get killed by friendly fire.
Yeah.
There's a lot of war.
Doesn't get much worse than that.
There's so much tragedy.
There's a couple of really good sort of like anti-war books, and not like from a propaganda point of view, but it's, you know, it's like people who have you know, either been in combat or in a war before, who are sort of recounting through a story, some part of war, like Catch 22. I don't know if you ever read that, but it's like, it's a very sort of like, you know, war is crazy and it's not something that should be looked back on as being cool or anything like that.
Yeah.
Like, and all the characters are nuts, and insane, and nobody knows what they're doing, and everybody's like so scared of doing anything and dreading like their next orders and stuff. It's an excellent book. If you've never read Catch 22,
yeah, it is
totally worth reading. There's more as well, but Catch 22 definitely like sort of comes to mind. As
you know, I do kind of wonder when we talk about World War II, we're always talking about, oh, they should have done this. Like, obviously, with hindsight, obviously that is easy. But even then, people talk about what should have happened and what should have been done.
I think there's going to be a lot of arguments against the stuff we say too, right? I think like we are not World War II historians. We're just people who... I think we just have a lot of interest.
We just played a lot of Hearts of Iron 4 recently, so it's topical for us.
And so, I mean, it is a really interesting period of history. And man, like one of the things, another thing that people always sort of criticize old Neville Chamberlain, right? And they say, oh, you know, he tried to appease Hitler and all this stuff. But I read a thing that said that actually, you know, while he was trying to appease Hitler and he was actually like mobilizing the country, you know, in preparation for war. And he was almost like just using it as a delaying tactic. And then when Churchill took over as wartime prime minister, he was still doing all the civilian prime ministering and was actually a real integral part of the war. And I think people sometimes give Chamberlain a bit of a bad rep, but apparently he was a good man.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Good old Nev.
Good for him.
Always
good
liked him. Yeah. Always liked him.
Yeah. Churchill got all the glory, but you know, fucking
don't
somebody
forget the
had
Nev.
Like, somebody had to keep the power on at home. And that was Nev doing it by himself. Literally attached wires to his head.
He was on a bicycle.
And sacrificed himself for Britain. shit.
So have you guys played any other games this week?
I've been playing Prison Architect a lot.
Yeah, I saw your series.
I've been recording it and playing it in my spare time. I've been playing a bit of that. Overwatch, I've stopped playing now. I've just sort of gravitated away from it, as you do with games sometimes. I was like excited enough to play it when it came out, but it's very sort of samey after a while, and I just sort of, there's other stuff coming out, so I picked that up instead. But yeah, Hearts of Iron 4 and Prison Architect have been my big ones recently for sure.
I've actually been playing quite a bit of Overwatch with some of the subs that I know from my channel. So we've got enough people now that we can have like a regular in-house.
Oh, cool.
Which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, yeah.
And we also just we queue in pubs and stuff, and we're all on Discord. It is just like Dota in that if you play it solo or just with like two people going into a stack, for me, it's not fun.
No.
For me, the fun is the team aspect of it. And it's actually, in a weird way, it's got me back into Dota because I've been playing a lot of Dota lately as well.
Nice.
And I missed both of those, that sort of multiplayer experience where it's live, because I have been playing so many strategy games and you kind of feel like you can pause it, you can think, and I like that. But I also like the immediate sort of response you have to a good game of Dota or Overwatch or something. So I've been doing a lot of that.
I played a lot of Hearthstone actually at the weekend. I kick up Hearthstone and I just sort of play a deck that I think is interesting and see how it performs. And I found a deck that I really enjoyed playing, which was the I really like Yogg-Saron, and I really like the Hunter card Lock and Load. So I played a deck that I found that's online. That's apparently it's like legend quality. I managed to carry it to like rank 3, which is like the highest I've ever been in Hearthstone.
So that's pretty good.
I'm pretty pleased with that.
Congrats.
Achievement.
Yeah,
and then
nice.
I sort of dropped down a little bit and played some other decks and dropped down a bit more. But yeah, I really enjoyed getting up there and having a good time. I felt like that was a little bit of an achievement for me. You know, I don't consider myself to be a good Hearthstone player. I think that's for some reason that deck just I knew how to play it, and so I piloted it like fairly comfortably. I know I just enjoyed it for some reason. And you know, inevitably, like it got to a point where some bullshit happened, and I just hit the X in the corner. I was like, no, I'm done with Hearthstone.
Yeah.
So I've not played it for like 5 days since I did that.
Nice.
But you know, I'm looking forward to like, it's weird how I come back to it sometimes, get into it for a little bit and then abandon it again. And man, I'm still slightly excited for new cards and new expansions. It's weird.
Yeah. Well, we're going to BlizzCon in a couple of months, so there'll definitely be some sort of Hearthstone announcement.
I wonder
there
if that'll be when they do the Overwatch new hero as well, because there's been apparently a lot of hints at that.
Probably, yeah.
Companies love that big sort of grand reveal, don't they?
Well, Blizzard especially.
Yeah, they do.
They love it.
Like Valve do as well with Dota and stuff. Like with CSGO, they haven't really done that yet. Like when they released that stupid Magnum gun that was horribly overpowered for like one patch, they just sort of put it out.
Yeah.
But with Dota, when they did Techies, they used the All-Star match at TI
to like showcase them.
And there
stuff,
was Techies like revealed. They had like explosions in the arena and everything. It was huge and everybody was losing their mind.
Yeah. It's a different kind of game though. People get attached to different heroes and stuff. I guess CSGO is a bit more of a mechanical game, isn't it? You just like jump in and shoot dudes and you have to have that like reflex and skill or whatever. Maybe you don't care so much about.
They could have done a similar announcement with that pistol or something like that. I think they could have done. But
Gabe
I just
Newell
don't think
walks
it was
on stage, whips out a Magnum. Everybody screams and panics. And he's like, it's okay.
And he just fires.
This one's
going to
be in the game. Guys, don't worry. I'm not going to be shooting anyone today, but maybe tomorrow.
Don't worry, guys. I'm not mad. I just had a bicycle fall onto my head when I was 8. And now I have no kind of self-consciousness.
And for some reason, I can't say something once. I have to say it 2 times ever since the bike landed on my head. So every joke ever gets wrapped into that one. Do you want to do one question before we go?
Sure.
All right. This one is courtesy of Charmaine. She asks, which of you three is the best at DIY? It's a pretty good question.
Yeah, it's a good
probably
question.
Better than most anyway.
That's a good question.
I think that I'm probably better at DIY than Lewis, and I'm unsure of Piri and Flax's DIY skills.
Similar boat. I also feel that I would be better at DIY than Lewis because I don't think he's had the exposure to it and the need for it, having lived in rented accommodation for so very
long.
That's
it. That's true. Yeah. I think with me, DIY is something that I'm handy enough if I put my mind to it, but I'm so fucking lazy.
Same.
And I procrastinate so fucking hard that when I finally do get around doing it, I'll rush through it and that'll do sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, if it doesn't go perfectly.
But yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of tools. Like I've got I own a sledgehammer. I own a pickaxe. I own one of those planes, you know, where you can plane wood down and stuff like that for sorting.
Whoa, okay. I've got a hammer drill. I've got like a really high powered hammer drill for drilling into concrete.
But I feel like if you have the tools, you're enthused about the work. Like, for instance, if something comes along and Mrs. F is like, we really need to fix this so-and-so, I'm like, I may have to buy a tool for this. And then I want to try it out. So then it sort of motivates me more than if I just have, like, all the stuff, the tools I got lying around, they get used once, and then I put off the jobs that they could do for months and months and months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty much. I mean,
I have the... I have the soft, uncalloused hands of a man who's never done a day's work.
You've never experienced the joy of a cordless power drill because they're pretty sweet.
I've lived in rented accommodation, or not my own accommodation, my parents are very protective over the accommodation that they have. I've almost been conditioned to be super paranoid about drilling something into a wall. You know, it's almost like if you drill this into the wall, you'll drill through an electric cable and you'll electrocute yourself, or you'll drill through a gas line and burn the house down, or you'll fucking have to pay you lose all your deposit, or, you know, or this or that, or I'm just terrified to do DIY. And so I think that when I eventually do get a house, I never will, right? Because I've just unfortunately spent 32-33 years never fucking being paranoid and terrified of doing anything.
Yeah.
And I compare this to like someone, I don't know, I think it's to do with like, I think sometimes you can tell a lot about someone from the daytime TV shows that they watch, okay? Because Terps loves to watch Homes Under the Hammer. He watches like all of these DIY shows and stuff, and he learns all the tips and tricks, and he's really interested in doing it, and sanding down his floor and building a fireplace and putting up a shelf and, you know, installing a window himself, or, you know, fixing the plumbing. He's really handy.
Yeah.
And you can tell from the TV shows that he watches. Do you know what I like to watch as my like secret daytime TV
show? QI?
Loose thing? Women.
Antiques Roadshow and like... Bargain Hunt. I think they're quite chilled. They're a bit weird. Like, you get to like look at all this tat that they like to buy and like and sell it for a profit. I don't know. I feel like I'm the person who would have a house and fill it with tat. I mean, currently I don't have anything.
No, I mean, I've seen your house. You don't have anything.
I live vicariously. Like, it's almost like I don't need to buy any tat because I watch TV shows with lots of people who have a lot of tat.
Mm.
It's like when you watch a video about unboxing like an Easter egg or whatever, you don't need that anymore because you've seen it, right? You've experienced that vicariously through YouTube. That's why these unboxing channels are so popular, because once people have seen it unboxed, they lose a lot of the passion for it. They're like, oh, well, I've seen that. You know, it's not as cool anymore, is it? I don't really want the weird 3D camera or whatever. I just want to see what it looks like, you know. And so I think consumerism is suffering because of YouTube unboxing, which is good in a sense. Probably not good for the economy, but I also think it allows people to live without the need for so much crap. Anyway, that's how I feel.
Interesting.
What's your guilty daytime TV thing, and what does that say about you, P-Flax?
I honestly don't watch much television live. So,
I don't watch any TV live at all.
I only watch live TV in the morning, and that's when I have a baby sleeping on my lap while my wife is like getting ready, because that's like the only chance she has to like have a shower.
Right.
Imagine you were like crying, tabbing through the channels, right? And there was like Matlock, and there was like, you know, Diagnosis Murder, and there's CSI, and there's Storage Wars, and there's American like Pickers.
I've been watching Frasier recently.
Yeah, baby.
Because it's on Channel 4 at around the right time for the baby to sleep.
I don't think I can read too much into you from liking one of the best comedy sitcoms of the last 20 years.
I know.
So
I think I've seen every episode as well. It's really funny. But after Frasier is done, Undercover Boss comes on, and I don't normally change the channel, so that means that I kind of like it. It's not on at like 10 in the morning, so Undercover Boss just comes on after Frasier. Frasier, I'll sit there and actually sort of half pay attention to while I'm farting around on my iPad while the baby's sleeping. And then Undercover Boss, similarly, it'll come on, and occasionally it'll be, you know, somebody who runs a casino or something like that, and you're like, like half watch it, but that's about the only TV I really watch.
Yeah.
I can't stand certain things. Like, I can't watch The Apprentice. A lot of people go on about it, but I really can't.
I watched it. I think I watched I really like the first two seasons of it. When it was out, like when it just came out and it was like the big thing, I was like, well, I'll check it out or whatever. I didn't mind it, but I wouldn't watch like fucking 10 years of that show. Like, Jesus.
I think the thing is, like Sips, when I had little kids and was forced to sit in the house watching television, and they can't watch it. Like, this is before the age when they can really watch it. So I'd be watching stuff, and I would also I watched Frasier from episode one to the very end in sequence because they were on Channel 4 like twice a day, and you, if you timed it right, you could watch them all. So I watched the whole run. I watched the whole run of Star Trek Next Generation. I watched the whole run of classic Trek. What else did I watch? There was another series I watched the entire thing. Like the whole...
Everybody Loves Raymond. That's on Channel 4 too all the time.
God, no, I hate that show.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Did you watch Deep Space Nine?
It's bad, but I watch it. Like, if it's on, it's okay enough to have it on in the background.
Yeah, it's not offensive. It's just not funny.
It's terrible.
It's just kind of...
it's really bad. Jesus.
I mean, I wonder if he's going to make a joke about his wife or his mother this episode.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the entire show. And then it's one of those shows, you know, the way shows build up a language with the audience and they know the character so well that the joke is just like seeing the character.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, there's some episodes of Seinfeld where if you're not a Seinfeld fan, Kramer coming into shot or George or someone like that coming into shot, we know the characters, the joke is evident because we know them.
Yeah.
So I feel like Everybody Loves Raymond is the kind of show that, because I never watched it and I hate it, I'll watch a random episode and he'll be having what seems like a bland conversation, then in walks his brother Robert.
Yeah.
And the audience
doing
goes
that gormless
nuts.
Fucking
yeah, he's got that
dumb
look
shit
and he goes,
that he does.
Raymond
yeah.
and I'm just and they're all killing themselves
oh,
laughing.
Raymond again with that fucking deep voice.
And
stuff.
I just to me I'm like, maybe I just don't get the show that seeing Raymond and his brother just looking at each other is itself hysterically funny. I don't know. I kind of feel like if you really like Everybody Loves Raymond, you're probably a big fan of shows like Ellen's.
I don't know. Like Seinfeld had fucking recurring characters as well that were just pretty funny, like Putty and like Kenny Benya.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Like, you know, they were funny enough that like even if you didn't watch the show, they were just like entertaining enough to see sort
the
of
best,
thing.
Jerry,
like,
the best. I mean, that's literally my favorite sitcom of all time. I watch it all the time. I love that show.
Yeah. It's very good.
Seinfeld's the best. And what about Big Bang Theory? Where do you guys sit on that?
I want to kill it and everyone involved with it.
I cannot stand it.
It's just a show for millennials, basically. No, it is, though. Right. Like, it's fucking garbage.
And on that bombshell, we are going to leave you. Thank you for listening to Travels Podcast this week. We will see you.
Don't hate me for not liking The Big Bang Theory.
Next time.
Please.
I hate it too. Spread the hate. We all hate the show equally. Don't target Sips with your fucking.
Wait, Lewis,
love.
I hate it also.
Oh, yep. Do you?
We all
hate
it. Piece of shit show.
All right,
it's garbage.
Bye.
Love you all. Bye.
Duncan likes it though.
Of course he fucking does. Jesus Christ.